was the first real out-of-town trip with neighborhood youth that I can remember. After moving to Charlotte only a few months earlier, back in 2005, we had agreed to take some young folks who had been doing exemplary in school that month to the mountains. Why to the mountains? Well, because they had never been before. The mountains were things that they had seen in books and maybe read some stories about, but they had never seen one face to face. So one weekend we packed up a van or maybe our cars, I can't even remember exactly what it was, and we got these young folks together. One of those young men would later become Joni and I's adopted son, and we packed several boys and a couple of girls in a van and headed up to Boone, a place that the mountains were near and dear to several in our community at the time. We drive out the interstate, get on 421, back up in the mountains, and start getting closer to Boone. And I think some of the boys had maybe drifted off to sleep during the ride. And all of a sudden, one of them wakes up. And you can imagine if you've never seen a mountain before, and you fall asleep when the land is still relatively flat and rolling just a little bit. And all of a sudden, you wake up, and outside this window, the land is there, and you've never seen that before. Can you imagine how that might feel? Oh my gosh, right? The boys and the girls were exclaiming with this awe, this sense of wonder at something they had never before conceived of in their mind. The land's supposed to be down below, and here it is going straight up. What in the world? And I remember one of them asking, how did they do that? You have to appreciate questions from young people like this, right? How did they do that? And I'm thinking, wait, before I answer how they did that, who is they, right? Who's the they that you're talking about? Are you talking about people? Like someone brought millions and millions of loads of dirt, truck by truck, I don't know, thousands of years ago. Well, it couldn't have been truck if it was thousands of years ago. It had to have been like horse or mule or ox and a sled or something. I don't even know. Who knows if they even had wheels back then? Or are you talking about animals? Is that the they? Is it like ants that came in and these are just giant, giant ant hills, the biggest you've ever seen? Who is they? And maybe, I don't really remember, but maybe we responded, you know, with that scientific answer that, well, this is just how things work over time, and the land shifts, and as the plates of the earth move, they buckle and it forms these mountains, and that just didn't make sense to the boys. So I think one of us just ended up saying, well, that's just how God made it, right? That's the cop-out answer for every adult who gets a hard question from young people. That's just the way God did it. So we get to Boone and we're hiking during this weekend of camping in the mountains. It's a hard hike that we set out on. And these youth are not used to hiking mountains. They're used to walking a lot in the neighborhood there in Charlotte that we all lived in together. But mountains, up and down of mountains and climbing over rocks and from one rock to another, that's a little bit different story. So it was a pretty arduous trek for them, for even us, right? And we're stopping to rest like every few minutes, every 2 or 3 or 4 minutes. The kids are whining and complaining about the hike. Mr. Jason, I'm not going to make it. What? Where are we going to go? There's no. You can't see anything. There's no. There's no bathroom. Oh my gosh, this is so heavy. What am I? And you know, Joni and I and the other adults are trying to encourage them as best we can, like any youth leader, right? Reminding them, hey, we're going to make it. It's going to be okay. We know right where we are. We've been here before. You can do it. This is not really all that different than walking several miles around the neighborhood, and you do that every day. If anything happens, we're here for you. It's going to be okay. Of course, the complaining continued. A few of them even kind of fell out, you know, like as young people are prone to do, be a little overdramatic, and they just literally fell out on the ground. I can't even make it. And it reminded me of, you know, that good old show Sanford and Son, and And he goes, Elizabeth, I'm coming to see you. And these kids were kind of in that place, right? Then finally, after several hours of hiking up and up and up, we reached the top. And I remember watching one of those young folks kind of hunched over, walking up, not really paying attention to too much that was around them, because it's all a little disorienting anyway to be going up that kind of height for the first time in your life. And I remember one of those young people sort of bent down and on his or her knees. I don't remember exactly who it was. I want to say it was Jamar's sister, Ikea, but I'm not, or maybe Shanice, but I'm not real clear in my memory. Hunched over at the top, panting, sweating profusely, barely made it, and then looks up. Big-eyed, widest eyes maybe I've ever seen. And literally, this young person takes a step back, right? And holds her hands out like, I'm going to fall off of this mountain. It's that kind of awe-inspiring experience. That jarring out of your complacency and out of your place in the world that says, this is new and different and amazing and unlike anything I've ever seen before, and I'm not sure what to do with it. Can you imagine that for the first time in your life? It's kind of hard to, seeing a peak for the first time. I know that we all had that experience at some point in our lives. I can't remember when my first one was. Probably I was too young to remember. But probably we felt, even as a child, too young to remember the same way that that young woman felt on that day. That's the true, the honest, the raw wonder of climbing a mountain. And I bet it's happened to you too, even more recently than your childhood when you couldn't remember. It just wasn't a mountain made of dirt or land. Might have been a mountain of health or a job or a family situation kind of mountain, or a mountain of grief or loss, a mountain of pain or suffering, maybe a goal that you wanted to achieve or an adventure that you had been looking forward to for some time in your life, and so you finally set out to accomplish a feat. And you probably had to do something. You didn't probably have to do it. No doubt you had to do something to get to that peak. Maybe it was a lot of long doctor's visits and treatments. Maybe it was a promotion that you had been chasing through extra long hours of hard work, or persevering through a really difficult and troubling situation or relationship. Maybe it was struggling over losing someone near and dear and loved, and the arduous journey through grief. Maybe it was waiting for the light at the end of a tunnel that you had set out to traverse, all excited at first to get going into this journey, but now at this point you have become wearisome and tired and frustrated that you can't seem to get to that light at the end of that tunnel. We've all climbed mountains. And so the voice from Scripture speaks to us this morning. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. For the Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. People have speculated over what this psalm is all about. Some say it was written in preparation for some battle that lay ahead, to inspire and encourage. Others say it was written in anticipation of some great journey that a group of people were going to set out upon, or maybe just an individual, the one who wrote the psalm. And still others say it was written for the Israelites as they went to Jerusalem, perhaps to approach the temple at a holy feast time, and they went up the hill into the holy city. While we may never know for certain exactly what the situation was that was in the mind of the one who wrote these beautiful poetic words, it is clear that there is something in front of the writer and the reader. That there is some mountain before them to climb, some situation to be faced, some journey to embark upon, some spiritual experience that lies just ahead. Whatever that mountain is, the words encourage us as we read and pray to raise our heads and set our sights upon the mountain with the assurance that God will go with us and keep us and be our guardian. In fact, whether your Bible says guard or protect or keep or watch over, all different translations that you see in these words as you read different Bible versions of this psalm, it's all the same word in Hebrew, a word that is pronounced shamar in its root form. Lift your eyes. God is here. Shamar, 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 shamar. God will keep you, guard you, protect you, watch over you, preserve you. Shamar, shamar, shamar. By the end, if you're reading it in the Hebrew, as I've done, you just want to sit back and say, okay, I get it. Shamar. God's going to watch over me. And it may have come across as a bit redundant and repetitive as you read it, but just like that camping trip with those young folks from the west side of Charlotte, this encouragement and assurance, shamar, watch over, keep, protect, preserve, guard, it's just what we need to hear when we climb the mountains of our lives. It's just what we need to hear in order to make it to the top, where we can finally sit in awe and amazement and step back, arms wide open, in a moment of pure wonder and know for certain that we made it. Over the next few weeks, I invite you to lift your eyes to whatever mountain is before you. Over the next few weeks, I invite you to lift your eyes and your heart and your soul to those mountains that you have traversed through your life. Maybe 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, there was that holy and sacred time that a challenge lay before you, or health or job or spouse or family or relationship, whatever it was. I invite you to recall over these next weeks that holy experience of climbing that life mountain. I invite you to remember, to give thanks, to lift your eyes yet again to that holy time in your life when you got to the top and you saw the peak of that mountain for the first time and could say to yourself, "Here I am." For the next few weeks, we'll explore some of those mountaintop stories, some of those mountain climbing stories in worship, and Joni and I plan to invite a few of you to actually come forward and share some of those experiences. And as we hear and listen, we'll think about what it takes to set out upon the journey, what it takes to climb, the things that we need along the way as we trudge step by step and rock by rock to the top. We'll think about what mountain climbing does in our lives, what it does for our relationship with God. We'll name some of those mountains and give thanks. And I hope that over the course of this next few weeks together, as we explore the mountains of our lives, that it will give you some renewed energy and strength and hope that whatever mountain that you may be on the side of right now, still struggling and working and taking step after step after step to get to the top, that you will be encouraged along that journey. That you'll be able to see the light at the top of that mountain and know that you're going to make it. And here is a family of faith that is with you to hold your hand, to pray for you, to support you until you get to the top. I pray that it will give us the eyes to look out in the world around us and know that every person that we pass on the street or in the car is also someone who's climbing a mountain. A mountain that's different from yours and different from mine, but nonetheless real. And I hope it will encourage us to have compassion, more compassion for those in the world who are traversing mountains that you and I might not even be able to imagine. Brothers and sisters, let us lift our eyes individually and together at the mountains of our lives. For as the psalmist promises, our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let our foot slip. He will watch over us and neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord will be our shade at our right hand. The sun will not harm us by day, nor the moon by night, for the Lord will keep you from all harm. God will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. Amen.